We're going to begin a new series this morning called Jesus Has Complete Power. And this one's Complete Power Over Sin. And you'll see it's Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You're going to have to get a little bit accustomed to me doing things. I didn't put together a PowerPoint to go along with the sermon, so you're going to have to use your Bibles, and you're going to have to look at the scripture and follow along there. But we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. There are many imperfections in the world, and there are tons and tons of imperfect people. Would you agree with that? Are there any imperfect people here? Uh-huh. Are any of us perfect? No. And in reality, you know, I kept thinking back about perfection and completeness, and that's what this message is all about. Every one of us has our imperfections. We have our flaws. But there is only one who is flawless, perfect, complete, and that one is Jesus. Jesus never sinned, had no imperfections. And I started thinking about perfect completeness. And last week, I was watching a Tiger baseball game. Anibal Sanchez was pitching, got into the ninth inning with a no-hitter and one out, and then a little soft line drive into center field. His hope for a perfect game was spoiled. And you could see him turn around and kind of go, you know, like, oh, rats, you know, lost that one right there. But he was trying for perfection in baseball. I remember an old television show, Happy Days. Older generation will be aware of it. The kids won't. Do you remember Henry Winkler on that program? And he played the part of the Fonz, right? And the Fonz always had a problem of saying, I was, and he could never get out the word wrong. You know, he couldn't admit to his imperfections. And yet we all have imperfections, don't we? And we dare not try to hide them and pretend that they don't exist. But Jesus is the only one who is perfect. Jesus actually said in his Sermon on the Mount, be perfect, therefore, as my Father in heaven is perfect. That comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. This perfection brings with it the idea of completeness, wholeness, lacking in no way or in any area of life. Today we want to see how Jesus has perfect or complete power over sin. We're going to be looking here at Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read Matthew 4, 1 through 11 in just a couple of minutes. It comes on the heels, we have to remember the context, it comes on the heels of Jesus' baptism. Jesus has, you know, just been baptized, the heavens open, the Spirit descends in the form of a dove. You know, John the Baptist recognizes this is the one, because God had told him, the one that you see the Spirit descending on in the form of a dove, he's the one, the promised one, the Messiah. And on the heels of this great spiritual experience, then Jesus is ushered into the wilderness or the desert. And that's where we pick up today. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Would you read with me, please? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, as we look into your holy word again this morning, we simply pray, Father, that you would help us to be attentive to what you have to say to us. Help us to be spiritually attuned to your will, to your word, to your way. Father, speak to us and help us to give ourselves wholly and completely unto you as we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Gerald was exactly right in the communion meditation this morning. We have a problem. We have a sin problem. All of us do. And you know, even King David, and this is one of those passages that some people have difficulty, in the psalm he said he was, you know, from his birth, he was, you know, from his mother's womb, he was a sinner. And yet the idea is we have a sin problem in humanity. All of us do. And we need a solution for that sin problem. In this time when Jesus goes into the wilderness, he had the great spiritual high in his baptism and the Holy Spirit coming down on in the form of a dove landing, you know, hovering above him, whatever. Then he goes out into the wilderness, and what did he do? 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't rain this time. What was it? He was fasting, wasn't he? He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the scripture says, and then he was hungry. Do we make it 40 days and 40 nights without eating, folks? Most of us don't make it past 4 hours, let alone 4 days or 40 days, you know. Our stomach starts growling and our body's telling us we need some more fuel, more food, you know, put something in there. I want us to see that Jesus, in this time of temptation, Jesus was really tempted. This isn't just a beautiful little story. This is the Son of God, yes, but completely human as well. He lived in flesh and bone and blood just like all of us. He had the same need for food, the same need for liquid, the same need for companionship, friendship, love as all of us. He was completely human. And in his humanity, he was led out into the wilderness to face these temptations. This first temptation that Satan brings to him is in regard to that period of fasting, isn't it, huh? You see these nice little round stones here? If you're the Son of God, you know, change one of these stones into a nice round loaf of bread and eat that, you know, satisfy your hunger. So the first temptation is that of self-serving his own needs. And in this, I am certain that that was a real temptation for Jesus. I can't imagine going 40 days without food. I was reading in my Old Testament Bible reading, and currently I'm just passed through all of the Torah and just into Joshua, but I remember reading Moses, when he went up onto the mountain and was waiting for God, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And it says there that he neither ate nor drank that period of time. I don't know how a person can survive 40 days without any fluid intakes. And yet the scriptures tell us that Moses did that. This time it doesn't tell us whether Jesus didn't drink any water. It just says he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. I can't imagine how hungry I would be after 40 days. I have a friend that, thinking about his Lord and Savior, said to himself, well, Jesus fasted for 40 days. I'm going to fast for 40 days. And he did. Now, he continued to take in juices and liquid, but he fasted for 40 days from any kind of food. And an amazing thing happened. He lost a lot of weight. His teeth actually began to lose enamel on the surface, and his teeth became super sensitive to everything. And I want to paint that picture because I want us to understand just what this meant when Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights fasting, and then Satan comes and tells him, here, change one of these nice little round stones into a barley loaf. Satisfy your hunger, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, you can do that. And I want you to understand this about the if clause. It's kind of complicated, but it's actually saying, since you are the Son of God, you know, you can do this. It wasn't like Satan was saying, you might be, because in the original language, there was a way of saying, if you are, and you are, and that's exactly what Satan was doing. He was saying, since you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. Satisfy your hunger. It was a real temptation for Jesus, a real struggle. What condition would Jesus have been in after those 40 days? Weak? Tired? I don't know that I'd do very well 40 days without contact with people either. Jesus was alone. I imagine Jesus weak, physically tired, maybe even mentally weakened. But when Satan tempted Jesus to become self-serving, Jesus answered him with what? The Scriptures. The power of the Word of God in his life. And he said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We know that scripture, most of us. We've read it numerous times. I wonder how much we really get into it and consider how important God's spoken word, God's written word, is for each one of us. Is it more important than our food? Is it more important to us than satisfying our own needs? Jesus was not even willing to satisfy his own hunger as in that temptation. He was sustained by the power of the Word of God itself in his life. Jesus had and has the power to change anything into something else. This was one example of where he didn't do it. But you remember when he was together with his disciples and had a large crowd around him, and all these people are gathered there, and Jesus tells his disciples, give them something to eat. Have them sit down in groups of 50 and 100, and then, you know, what do you have to feed them? Oh, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, bring it here. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he had them pass it out. And over 5,000 men, plus women and children, all ate and were satisfied, and had, I never remember if it's 12 or 7, because there's the two different stories. One time there was 12 basketfuls taken up of remnants. The other time, with the 4,000, I think it was 7 basketfuls. But the point is this, Jesus has the power to change anything, to multiply it, to make something out of nothing if he wants to. Jesus could have satisfied his hunger and been self-serving, but he said, no, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I wonder, folks, how often are we tempted to do what is self-serving? When we have a need or a desire or a wish, You know, we sometimes have a problem distinguishing between the needs and desires and wishes, don't we? We have a problem with seeing what our needs are much more than what Jesus and God says in the New Testament. If we have food and raiment, it is enough. We're so far beyond that here in the United States. So far beyond food and raiment. God has blessed us tremendously. And I thank Him for it. But we have a tendency then to have our need list get much bigger than it really should be. Are you ever tempted to do something to become self-serving instead of being faithful to God? To say this overweighs, you know, what God says because I need it. I hear that kind of statement from people all the time. I do. People ignore what God says in His Word because they think they need something and they're going to meet that need. And it becomes very self-serving. I want you to know, folks, Jesus has complete power over sin. He demonstrated it by not converting stones into bread. The second temptation was for Jesus to put on a show. This time, the devil takes Him to the holy city, puts Him on the highest point of the temple, and what does the devil tell Him to do? Throw yourself down. And why? And then Satan quotes the Old Testament, and there he says to Jesus, because it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Folks, I want you to know, this was a real temptation for Jesus. This kind of temptation is the easy way, is the putting on a show. Put on the show, draw attention to yourself so that people can see and flock to you. And yet throughout Jesus' ministry, that's the opposite of what He did. Instead of drawing people to Himself, He would go off to the solitary places. He would tell people, don't tell anyone about My healing you. Go back to the town that you came from and tell about all the good things that God has done for you. He didn't want the publicity. And yet this was the temptation for Jesus after this fasting time of putting on a show. And Jesus responds with that scripture that says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I wonder sometimes if we too want to put on a show. The scriptures talks an awful lot about boasting, doesn't it? Tells us not to boast except in the Lord our God. So here's the devil. He's trying to tempt Jesus to put on this big show. Throw yourself down from the top of the temple. There are people around the temple all the time. There are the temple guards. There's these different courts, the court of the Jewish court, the court of men, the court of women. So there are people around the temple area all the time, as well as servants and guards. So if Jesus was up on top of the temple and He throws Himself down and yet He doesn't go splat, it's going to draw people's attention, isn't it? And yet Jesus responded with God's word again, the power of the word of God to say, don't put the Lord your God to a test. Trust Him instead. Each and every time Jesus responds with the power of the word of God when He's tempted. Are you ever tempted to seek your own self-serving exaltation or glory? Tempted to boast about your accomplishments? Wanting a pat on the back for all the good things that you're doing? Jesus did not want to seek to put on a show. He sought to live and to work as privately as possible and let God get the glory. Jesus has complete power over sin. He didn't yield this second time either. The third, Jesus this time is tempted to take the easy way out. Satan this time tells Him, look it, from here I can show you all the kingdoms of the world, all of its glory. And I can imagine in some way Satan having some kind of power that he could make Jesus see all of this glorious beauty of these different kingdoms and realms of the world. I think it was a real temptation. These are not just, you know, straw figures that are set up to just knock down easily. Jesus was tempted to take the easy way out. And Satan is telling him, all you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of this. I believe it was a real temptation because even shortly before Jesus went to the cross, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took not only all of the disciples, but then the inner circle and went a little further and asked them to watch and pray. And he went alone by himself and he knelt down and he prayed and he was transpiring, sweating, and it says as if great drops of blood were falling from his brow. And what was he sweating over? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What cup? The suffering and the agony of the cross and taking all the sins of the world on himself. He who was sinless would have to do that to be the actual sacrifice for every one of us. And he sweat great drops of perspiration as if they were blood. And he wrestled with that. 3 times he wrestled with that in the Garden of Gethsemane. And each time he would say, but not my will, your will be done, Father. Willing to do what God the Father wanted him to do, even though he wanted to escape from it if he could. This is a real temptation for Jesus. Satan is telling him, here are all the kingdoms of the world. All you got to do, Jesus, is bow down to me, and I'll give it all to you. Take the easy way out, Jesus. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer for anybody. You don't have to die. You don't have to be spat upon. You don't have to have your back ripped to shreds with the cat of nine tails. You don't have to do any of that. Take the easy way out. But Jesus answered one more time. And this time it was like saying, I've had it with you, Satan. Away from me, Satan. Get away. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I can't help but think of the times that you and I face difficulties. Might be at work, might be at school, might be in a relationship with a family member, might be any of a number of circumstances. And sometimes we're tempted to take the easy way out, not deal with what's right before us. Try and skirt it in some way. Try to avoid it. And yet Jesus refused to take the easy way and was strengthened again in the Word of God. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. His love and devotion to God overcame the temptation to take that easy way out. Are we tempted that way? Sometimes to take that easy way out instead of remaining faithful to God, faithful to yourself as a person, or to those that you have put your trust in? Folks, Jesus has complete power over sin. He went all the way for each one of us. Jesus didn't take the way of self-serving, satisfy his hunger. He didn't make a big show of things. He didn't take the easy way out. He remained faithful to God. This is the kind of Savior that knows our weaknesses and feels our heartaches and knows what temptations we face. The writer of the book of Hebrews says over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18, for this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus knows how to help us, folks. We don't have to give in. Jesus has complete power over sin. He never failed once. Not even a little white lie. Nothing could be held against Jesus. He was complete and perfect in his power over sin. Each time he was tempted, he responded with the power of the Word of God. You and I need that power. The power of the Word of God at work in our lives today. Are you spending time in the Word of God daily? I encourage you to do so. It is the greatest source of strength for any human being to know what God says and how to help us when we have trouble. If you are in Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit to dwell in your hearts, in your mind, and to guide and assist you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 tells us, there's no temptation that has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You know, we've used that scripture many, many times to encourage us. And yet we turn around and we say, we are sinners, and we are. And we fail so often, and we do. And yet God is saying, you don't have to fail. By the power of God at work in our lives, the Holy Spirit, his written word, if we allow it to work in us, we do not have to fail God and continually sin one after another after another. God empowers us to overcome sin. 1 John talks about it. Talks about he who overcomes sin. And that's what God wants to offer to us through Jesus. He wants to offer us victory in this battle in life through the power of the blood of Jesus as our atonement and through the power of the Word of God. Avail yourself of the power of the one and only Son of God who lived a sinless life. He has complete power over sin, and he can do and make it possible for you to escape the penalty of your sins. God also said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God for the gift, huh? For the forgiveness of our sins. The wages have been paid. The death that we should have received, Jesus took on the cross. We can be more than survivors. We can be conquerors. The Apostle Paul wrote about that, and I'm going to close with this in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. As he's talking about, you know, we're facing death all the day long in verse 36. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And then he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can't be done. If you are giving yourself holy to God, and you're living in that relationship with him through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the power of his Holy Spirit dwelling in you and giving you direction as you face each temptation, God provides a way of escape. Are you taking the way of escape, folks? We need to be looking for those escape routes so that we don't continually sin against our God. I dare say most of us here have already taken Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've given our lives to Him. We love Him. We thank Him for the sacrifice that He's made. We remember it when we gather around His table every Sunday morning. He paid the price for our sins. We now are free in Christ. That is to say, free from sin because of His blood. But if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to offer you that opportunity. We want you to have the Savior that we have found and have the promise of the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of a life eternal in the heavens with God. And it can only be found in Jesus.